All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we're going to be dealing with Joseph. And Joseph in Scripture, you know, there are various ones in various ways at various times that something about their lives would represent something about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, no man can be a perfect type, because with men there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, and there's none righteous, not even one. So, but we still have types, and Joseph is a type of Christ, and we're going to see the vision that he had, and then when he related it to his family, they weren't too happy about it. So let's go to Genesis 37. And let's see, here we go. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. The way you actually say that is Canaan, with a guttural sound. Anyway, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. So they were up to some kind of no good. And Joseph tattled on them. Okay. And so then, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. That's a real poor translation. Actually, it means a full-length coat with arms, you know, sleeves. And so that's what he had. And it hasn't anything to do with many different colors. You know, I don't know how they got that out of the Hebrew. But, once somebody does something, then everyone afterwards has to do the same thing. Seems like, they just take certain things for granted. So it says of Joseph, now, or of Israel, which is Jacob, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors, or a coat with sleeves, full length. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, this is how that Joseph is a type of Christ. He came unto his own, and what? His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Let's go back to the first chapter of John. Gospel of John. It's interesting, in Scripture we have buildings that represent things of God. We have animals that represent the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got institutions, all kinds of different things where spiritual truth was hidden in types in the Old Testament, and all of them that related to our Lord Jesus Christ were fulfilled in his first advent upon the earth. And of course he has to come back in his second advent to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when we begin here in the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word is an expression of a thought. And the person, Jesus, was the expression of God in human terms. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. So now when we see Joseph being a type of Christ, and that his brethren you know, he says, you're going to bow before me. And then later on, as we get a little bit further into the 37th chapter, we'll see that Jacob and his wife, they too were going to bow before him. And when Jacob heard that, he kind of gave him a mild rebuke, but then he kept these things in his mind, kind of like we read about Mary, and it says that the Lord revealed certain things to her, and she pondered these things in her heart because she didn't know exactly what the Lord was going to do or exactly how he was going to do it. But she was the vessel through whom God brought the Son of God into this world so that he could stand in our stead in life and stand in our stead in death. Now, God only had a covenant of law with one people. It was the nation of Israel. And no one could keep it. So when Jesus came and fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law and all righteousness, he was the only person ever born into this world who could. Adam and Eve could have before the fall. But when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in disobedience to God, they fell from the image of God, and they began to think according to the way that all of the religious systems of this world think. They all think according to a way which seems right to man. Now, it can vary from one system to another, and when I looked it up online, they said there's about 4,000 different moral systems in the world. There are similarities and dissimilarities, but it's all based upon what man thinks is right. And if we think about it, that's how man fell from the image of God. But I was watching television late one night, fell asleep, woke up, and one of those preachers was on. I don't even know who he was. Now, this is in the middle of his sermon, and you know, I didn't see the context in which he started telling this story. But this fellow died, and he was standing before you know, the gate, talking to Saint Peter. Oh, all of that's bull. Baloney. It's false. So he's telling this. And, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, he's supposed to be speaking to an audience that's made up of all different kinds of people, saved and unsaved. And he's telling the story or giving validity to St. Peter. And one of the things that he said, he said, just wait there for a little bit. We have to check to see if you can come in. Well, that's according to the lie of the devil. And then the next thing he says, what have you done in terms of loving your fellow man and so forth? And he goes through a list of things. He says, okay, that'll give you 1 point. And at that point, I about regurgitated and changed the channel. But, you know, if you're going to preach to a lost world, and that's what you're doing, basically, if you have, a television show or something of that sort, you're going to have all kinds of different people, saved and unsaved, that might be listening. And to go into that that lie, you know. But that lie is the devil's lie. And no one ever seems to figure it out that every religious system in the world, both inside the canopy of Christianity and outside of the canopy of Christianity, every single one, except biblical Christianity and biblical Judaism, everyone's based upon what man can do for God. And yet, the scripture says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. And it also says, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, how does that add up with St. Peter checking you out to see if you're good enough? Yeah. It's just a lie. We have to have a vicarious atonement. And this vicarious atonement is portrayed to us in shadows and types in the life of Joseph. You know, and then, of course, we see it fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So I want to read a good portion of this first chapter of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. Now, the word, a word is an expression of a thought. If I say, can you see, and just name a word. You can't see it, but I speak it, and you can understand it. You know, a word represents something, but it's, you know, it's incorporeal. You can write it down on a piece of paper, and that gives it some sort of physical substance, but it's still a word, and you have to know the definition of it. And then for the right definition, you have to read it in its context. And so Christ is the expression of the Father. And so it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, we have to put this together with the beginning of the book of Genesis. And God said what? Let there be light. You know, and there was light. So God created the original creation. Then there was a cause for judgment. The original creation was judged. And then how long we went before God said, let there be light. You know, and in the recreation of the earth, we've talked about this before, when God said, let there be light, then at that moment in time, there was just a very faint light penetrating the darkness that shrouded the earth. And when Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, he said, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So when we're first born into the family of God, how much do we know? It comes down to this. I'm a sinner and Christ died for me. And he gave me the faith to believe on him. You know, but other than that, do you know anything about his virgin birth? Not at that point in time. Do you know anything about his deity? No, not really at that point in time. You're just a babe. And you can grow very rapidly. So it says of Jesus that all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So everything that's on this earth is here because of him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it at night. Now, Christ is the light of the world. He was in the midst of the Jews, and what? They didn't comprehend him to be who he was. We just read who he is. He's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the nation of Israel didn't comprehend that. Just like the brothers of Joseph, when he said, my sheep was in the field, your sheaves were in the field, and my sheep stood up, and yours all bowed before it. Oh, that, talk about tick them off. You know, you mean that we're going to bow before you? He's the youngest in the family at that point in time, 17 years old. Okay? And so, it says of the Lord then, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it or not. Comprehended it not. Light and darkness are opposites. So when, you know, light always disperses darkness, you know, and darkness is the absence of light. Okay, so there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and all men through him, that all through him, men through him might believe. He was not that light, so John was a forerunner, 6 months older than Jesus, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. The Word is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, he was in the world, And what? The world was made by him. So when we read back in Genesis, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, there's no contradiction. God manifested himself in the second person of the Godhead. And, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, or didn't know who he was. So he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, this is what we're dealing with Joseph and his brothers. You know, I'm going to rule over you. Now, we'll go back and see how that unfolds, but I want to read down at least to verse 14 at least. So he came unto his own, that is, to his brethren. And his brethren, when Jesus presented himself to the nation of Israel as God the Son of God, very God of God, and he proved who he was by the things that he did. No man could feed 5,000 men, probably 25, 30,000 people. You know, that was an agrarian society. The families were large. So you'd have a husband and wife, and maybe as many as, you know, 6, 8, 10 kids. Jacob had 12, or with a daughter, 13. You know, so they had large families. And he came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But as many as received him, and of course we see the apostles, when they had the opportunity to believe on him, they did. When we had the opportunity to believe on him, we did. That's not because of any power of our own. That is, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and at the point in time when he predetermined from all eternity that you would be saved, you were saved. Couldn't be any mistakes. You know, that doesn't mean that everyone who hears the gospel believes it. Most don't. You know, like the nation of Israel, we will not have this man to reign over us, just like Joseph's brothers. You know, they got all upset over the fact that he said that they were going to bow to him. So let's continue. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yeah. And when you first believe, all you do is know that you're a sinner and Christ died for you. And then, but you can from that point grow very rapidly. It depends upon how much intake you have that's accurate. So he says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made, or became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And now, you know, from there, reading in John, we'll see that John the Baptist bear testimony to Jesus. But let's come back to our text now. In verse 4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose also, stood upright, and behold, your sheep stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep. Boy, you want to pick them off in a hurry? And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Yeah. You know, pipsqueak? Yeah. They didn't like the idea one little bit. Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Isn't it interesting? When we're in the world, unsaved, we get along with the world just fine. But then God will bring about the circumstances where we hear the gospel preached. And as soon as we express the fact that we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to people that were our good friends, you know, and I remember after I graduated from school in Springfield, Missouri, we came home to California for a little bit. And I went into the Air Force first. A little bit after I went in, my good friend Larry Jones also entered the Air Force. And then we didn't see him all those years and didn't have any communications. And, of course, I was saved. I went to three different Bible colleges, finally graduated, came home, and I left him up. And they invited me down. He was living down at Huntington Beach. And I went down there. You talk about cold. You know, it was just like I was a stranger. And, you know, we've been friends for, from my sophomore year through graduation. And then the time up until I went into the Air Force. And then we communicated a little bit while I was in the Air Force. And then, you shifted around. I, of course, got married and had a family. But when I get out and I go to see him, it's like, look, I know all about you. I know the dirty jokes you told. I know the gals you whistled at and this and that. And he didn't say any of that to me. But in his mind, he's saying, how in the world can you be a preacher of the gospel? Well, God uses sinners. In fact, that's a prerequisite. You have to be a sinner saved by grace. You know? But the world perceives the ministry to be, some sinless sort of individual. Well, the scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It's like me saying to my elder brother, who's home with the Lord now, Gene, I'm going to reign over you. We got in an argument back when I was in high school, and I'd read an article about rotary engines as opposed to piston-driven engines. And so in this argument, I said, well, a piston-driven engine is trying to tear itself apart because each one of those cylinders, it goes to the top, piston, as it goes to the top of the cylinder, it has to stop before it goes the other way. He says it doesn't stop. And I said, well, it has to stop. It's confined in a cylinder. You know, it's going one direction, now it's going the opposite direction. Yeah. And it's a circular action. Well, yeah, the crankshaft with the connecting rod takes that vertical action and turns it into a rotary action. And we argued over that. And finally, my dad, who happened to be a machinist and really good at what he did, and he said, just forget it. You're right. But Gene's not going to accept it from you. Yeah. So then I went away to school, came back. We were down at Mom's in Wilmington, California. And I said, do you remember that argument we had when we were kids? And there is nothing's changed. Yeah. You can't tell me because you're younger than me or whatever it is. Yeah. And Gene finally went into the house. And this didn't help one little bit. I guess his face was long. And Mom said, what happened? Did you lose the argument? Yeah, at that moment, my brother hated me. Not for the same reasons. Anyway, and then let's pick up. And his brethren said to him in verse 8, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now, let's go back to John chapter 19. And I think it's verse 15. Let's start at 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover. and about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Yeah. So, you know, this is the hatred that the nation of Israel had towards the Lord Jesus Christ, who was promised to them through the sacrificial system, shadows, types, all through the Old Testament. Just as we just read in John, he came unto his own, and what? His own received him not. Joseph came to his own and told them what God was going to do, that you're going to bow before me. See? But they hated him for that. And so then as we continue on, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren in verse 9 of the 37th chapter, I've dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? Well, that's what God was revealing to Joseph. And we will see when we get, they went down into Egypt, we have to see, first of all, how his brethren hated him and cast him into a pit. And then they decided to go back and get him out because that wouldn't be the right way. We can sell him to somebody. But when they came back, he wasn't there. And that kind of reminds me of let's look at Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew 21, I think it's about 38. Let's see, here we are. Let's pick up at verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain, he's telling a parable to the Jews. And again, he sent other servants, verse 36, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. So Jesus telling parables to the nation of Israel, and he sent servants, the prophets, and they were beaten and killed and so forth. Well, last of all, I'll send my son, and they'll reverence him. Well, God's an omniscient God, and this is a parable. It's teaching a spiritual truth, and the spiritual truth is the Jews said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so, again, he sent other servants more than the first, and in verse 36, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And that was basically the nation of Israel under the Roman government, the Pharisees and the members of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. And so they had basically everything they wanted. And they didn't want a savior. They didn't think they needed a savior. But just like Joseph's brethren, when he's told that they're going to do a due obeisance to him, Joseph is going to be thrown into prison because of Potiphar's wife. Day after day, she begs him to make love to her. And finally, he's in the house one day when there's no one there but him and Potiphar's wife. And she grabs hold of his garment and says, make love to me. And he spins out of his garment and runs away naked. And then, of course, when the husband comes, the story is different. He tried to force me. And here's the proof. I've got his garment. So he was thrown into prison. And there was a baker and a servant. I've forgotten. I have to look up again. But anyway, there were two servants in jail, and they both dreamed dreams. And Jacob, or not Jacob, but Joseph, interpreted the dreams for him. And then it came that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And he dreamed about there were going to be very fat years and so on and so forth. And then after that, there were going to be seven very good years, then seven very bad years. And Jacob interpreted his dream. And so that he was released from prison. And he was made second only to Pharaoh in Egypt. And of course, you know, getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, they run out of food in Israel. And they hear that there's food in Egypt. So they go down there to get grain. And Joseph recognizes his brethren, but they don't recognize him. And so when they go back, they put the pot. You know, he keeps one of them there. You got to bring your younger brother. Is there another brother? Yeah. Well, bring him or there won't be any more food. And so they're going along the way and they open their bags and they find their money there. You know. And so they go back and spend time with their father and then they run out of food again. And this time, he said, if we don't bring the younger brother, he won't give us any more. You know? And so we'll get to that, getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here. But, you know, the nation of Israel has been just like those brothers of Joseph. You know, we will not have this man to reign over. So in that respect, Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does reign over them. And they do bow the knee before him, you know, and his father and his mother do too, the whole clan. So let's pick this up again back in the 37th chapter. And, let's see here. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem, in verse 12. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said to them, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, yeah, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they did what? They conspired against him to slay him. Nation of Israel basically did this with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Joseph is a type of Christ. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. So, this dream isn't going to be fulfilled. We're going to cast him into a pit. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he may rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors, or the long coat with the sleeves, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. Behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let us and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph. So they didn't get a chance to sell him. You know, some Midianites came along before, and they took him up out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. So they made the deal with the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And of course, when we compare this with the women at the grave, what did they do? They got there and they said, someone stolen his body. He's not in the tomb. And of course, later Jesus reveals himself to them. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not. Yeah. Is this Joseph's coat? Well, they knew it was. Yeah. But they're trying to cover up their dealings. Yeah. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob sent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. And thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar and to the officer of Pharaoh. We've gotten ahead of ourselves a little bit. I already told you about the dreams, and we'll study about that in the next chapter next time. But Joseph comes to be second in command in Egypt. And when his brothers come down to get grain, they do indeed have to bow the knee before him. And when Jacob and his wife and all the rest of them go down at the second time, you know, they go down there. And Jacob hides himself, Joseph hides himself from them. You know, he's much older now. You know, he was 17 when he put him into the pit. And so he's taken on some maturity, probably gained a little bit of weight, looks a little bit different. They haven't seen him, and they certainly don't expect to see him. He may be wearing a beard that he wouldn't have had at 17. But he's second ruler in Egypt, and they indeed bow the knee before him. And the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he's Lord. Yeah. It's amazing how that in the Old Testament scriptures we have these, you know, it just seems like stories. But each one of them is bearing a spiritual truth. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. I want to read something there. Or chapter 7, I think it is. Okay. 7:14, is that right? Yeah, 7:14. I don't know how I worry. Says 7:6. My mind's not as good as it used to be. All right, in the seventh chapter, Isaiah's prophesying, and it says in verse 11, he's speaking to Ahaz, the king, and he says, ask thee a sign in verse 11 of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. It is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You know, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name what? Emmanuel. Now, the nation of Israel, we just celebrated Christmas. We know that Christmas doesn't take place in the winter as it's traditionally done. That Christ was born at the time of lambing. That's when the shepherds watched their flocks by night, because if they'd put them in a sheepfold, when the ewes had dropped the newborn lambs, they'd be trampled by the other sheep before they could the shepherds could get there to protect them. So during lambing season, they watched their flocks at night. And that's what they were doing when Jesus was born. And it's interesting, the Roman church came up with a date with a fellow by the name, Theophilus, I think it was, Theophilus of Antioch. And he just said, well, he picked a date out of the calendar Jesus was born on the 25th of December. Now, there's nothing in Scripture to back that. He just said it. Then, in the next century, the Roman Church said that's when they started calling it Saint Christmas or Saint Nicholas and Christmas. And what was the ploy behind it? We've got to get our children to behave. Now the Lord says, if they don't behave, spank them, and they'll learn discipline, and they learn that spanking's not much fun, and then they'll obey, and that's part of maturing. None of us can have our way all the time, and people who live their lives for themselves very rarely have any interest in anything spiritual. It's just a matter of satisfying the flesh. And so, Jesus was born in the spring. A year later, in the Jewish calendar, take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, examine it up until the 14th day of the month, and the whole congregation of Israel shall slay their lamb in the evening, and then they're to roast it with fire. So they slay it on the afternoon of the 14th, and at sunset, it's the beginning of the 15th, and they roast it with fire, and they have their clothes on, their staff in their hand. They're to be ready to travel. This is to deliver them from Egypt. Now, Egypt is a type of the world, and the Scripture tells us, love not the world, neither the things of the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we're delivered from the world system, which was represented by Egypt. We're delivered from that by faith in the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And in order to be delivered, just as with the brothers of Joseph and Jacob and his wife, they had to bow the knee, because Joseph was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He said in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The whole world is caught up in its concepts of morality. And not one of those moral systems can make anyone fit for the presence of God. In order to be accepted in the presence of God, we have to have a Redeemer. The Redeemer is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous truth of your word, how that spiritual truth is hidden in physical events. And just as Joseph dreamed a dream that was given to him of God, the Jews came to where they had to bow the knee before him, and the Jews will have to come to bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they'll be separated from him forever. And really the same thing is true of us. We have to confess you as Savior and Lord. And we praise you that you gave us the faith to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.